listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Right, hello, welcome to episode 255 of the Self-Help Podcast
with me, Ed Lamb, and my faraway friend, Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
You mean far away or far out?
Far out, man. Yeah.
Far out.
God, tell us where you are this week, you swine.
I'm in Abu Dhabi. I'm in a hotel called the
Yas Marina?
Viceroy. Viceroy? And where's the camera? Viceroy.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't think people are going to be able to see that. I can see it. Viceroy. I'm a bit jealous. Yeah. Tell me why I should be jealous as a fan of motorsport.
Because it's right in the middle of the F1 race course, and the race course goes underneath the hotel. And right outside my window, I've got the race course. Then the other side of the race track, is the marina, which is full of very expensive yachts.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the marina are what look like very expensive houses that probably have a connection with the yachts.
I'm sure, and I bet you can rent them out for a crazy amount of money. Yeah. For a race weekend.
And in the distance, I can see it's like a fun park with loads of rides on it, which is the Ferrari Park, I think they call it.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty amazing. That's where they have the final race of the season in F1. It's actually, it's an amazing facility. The races are a bit boring at that track, I must say, in particular.
Yeah, they were saying that. They were saying that you can't overtake properly on this track.
So you're getting into it, yeah.
Yeah, I've been talking to some aficionados.
Very good. Well,
I'm going to go and get a bicycle when we finished, and because there's free bikes, I can just take it. I can cycle around the track.
Oh yeah, you've got to get some photos of that. That's brilliant. I would love to do that. And we're actually talking about an environmental issue today: plastic pollution. Yeah. We will tie it in with self-development, anxiety, and stuff like that. But I should mention at some point how I can correlate my justify my love of motorsport and still be a climate warrior as well at the same time. We'll come on to that later. We're talking about plastic pollution this week. liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Any new listeners out there, take a look. If you stick your email address in the box, we'll give you a discount code for our book, Live in the Present, which is awesome, OBS, and you'll get some free meditation files as well. We did a show about meditation last week, I do believe. Is that right?
We did.
And you can get all the old and archived episodes via the website as well. So, what you've been up to, Sean, apart from jetting all around the world, spewing out fumes into the air?
I've been having a good time. I actually, I don't know how I've got it on my phone, but there's pictures of my primary school when I was there, back in whenever that was.
They just magically appeared there.
I must have signed on to something, but there's a picture that looks like me talking to a teacher.
Oh, wow.
Which is really weird.
Amazing. So you're...
And I can recognise some of the kids in the class as well.
Trip down memory lane, eh?
Yeah. It was a bit weird.
We won't say what year it was, eh?
It was 1800.
Yeah. There's a steam engine in the background.
That's weird.
Yeah, what's so cool? Tell us about this conference you're talking at, or are you allowed to?
It's an IOSH conference, which is a health and safety organisation.
Okay.
And they invited me out to come and talk at the conference about mindfulness and health and safety, which is what we're doing. And it's been amazing. I had, it was standing ovation and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And the people that did talks after I was on kept quoting from me. It was quite funny.
Oh, wow.
And from that, I've been asked whether I'll go to Canada and to Africa to do the same thing.
I definitely think we need to be taking the podcast on the road.
Yeah, I think you should
make sure you score a couple of tickets next time.
If you were here now, you see, we'd be cycling on this F1 track.
We could do a podcast while cycling. I've thought about that, a cycling podcast, actually, where you're riding and chatting. Awesome. Yeah, well, hopefully, we're not sure if it's been recorded or not, but we'll be able to share the talk with listeners. And
there were three guys with cameras, one of which was video, so I assume that some of it at least was videoed. So.
Cool, very good. Yeah. Right, okay, should we crack on with this week's show?
Yeah.
Plastics in the news, a lot. It's everywhere. It's in the news. It's in the ocean. It's in our coursing through our veins. But it's been brought to attention. Actually, a couple of things. There's the Blue Planet TV show, or Blue Planet 2, was it? Also, to be fair to them, they get a bad rap amongst people of my generation. The Daily Mail have done a lot of work on the issue of single-use plastics and how we need to kick the habit. It's a bit of an addiction, really, isn't it? In the West. Well, all over the world. But yeah, Blue Planet, pretty awesome, mate. Or scary, awesome.
Yeah.
The visions of the sight of, our oceans are filled with plastic, and that seeps into our, the food chain, doesn't it? And ends up in us and everywhere.
And I think some of those pictures on the Blue Planet of animals dying because they were being, either they're being strangled by or they'd ingested the plastic, was quite horrifying to watch.
Yeah. It's funny how this is law of attraction stuff, so when you become aware of something, you start seeing it everywhere, don't you? So, like, all of a sudden, you start to notice that in every restaurant, bar, pub you go in, or cafe, there's a box of plastic straws around, or whatever. We need to tackle that. We did a litter pick in our church garden about a couple of months ago. Kids went out and did a litter pick and came back afterwards with two bin bags full of rubbish. Like, what the heck? And then straight after that, I walked next door into the Tesco car park, and I was just shell shocked by the amount of plastic that had been caught up in the in the hedge. Like, oh my god, it's everywhere. So it can get you down, this stuff as well, man. We'll talk about anxiety and how this you can. It's kind of a feeling of helplessness, isn't it?
Yeah, and one of the things has to be that when you look at what happens with plastics, is not only does it end up in the sea, which is what the Blue Planet was about, but it also ends up. It also ends up in the land, and there's evidence now about how it can affect the land. And that isn't just landfill. I mean, that when the plastics are breaking down, they're putting substances in the air, like dioxins, that are ending up in the land, they're ending up inside us. Once you start to get into the plastic thing, it's like, what on earth are we doing with this?
Yeah, they're finding it. I think I saw in the news the last few days about ice samples, and they're doing tests of how much plastic is in the ice in the Arctic, Antarctic, whatever. I wonder if, like, 100,000 years from now, some further civilization further down the road is going to be doing ice core samples and just thinking, what the heck was going on 100,000 years ago? Then it'll find like a Nintendo down there or something like that.
One of the things that has started to come out in the research that I was reading was that some of the universities are experimenting with creating an enzyme that will eat plastic.
Yes.
Now, that could be good if you could get it working in the right way with plastic, so they actually become ingested and then turn into something which is biodegradable. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But I don't know whether the enzyme in itself would be creating problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, where's the cutoff point in all that?
Yeah. Do we have a kind of tendency to kind of offload our problems elsewhere? So, like, we have in Britain, for those listening elsewhere in the world, we have this system of bins, like, where we get rid of our household waste. So in our part of the UK, we have a grey bin for all the recycling and a green bin for the everyday waste, which can't be recycled.
This is part of my...
That's a big but.
It's the realisation. What happened was that my brother-in-law, Sean, who's also a Sean, was saying to me, you can't recycle that. And I was saying, of course you can. It's got a recycle sign on. And he said, now, if you read the leaflet, you can't recycle it.
Yeah, each different authority has different kind of rules, doesn't it, on what can and can't be recycled, that kind of thing.
Well, when I called the leaflet up and looked at it online, I thought that a good 70% of everything that I put in the bin that I thought was being recycled is not recycled. It just comes out and goes into landfill.
Yikes.
Which is crazy because it can be recycled. But, I mean, one of the things to me is that as human beings, if we have the creativity to create something like plastic,
yeah,
at the same time as creating it, we should have created the means of getting rid of it as well.
Yeah, Yeah,
we should have had that foresight.
It should be said that, you know, plastic isn't like an evil, it's actually a really amazing material that we've created, isn't it? Super versatile. It's the single-use plastics that we need to get a grip of, stuff that gets used for 10 seconds and then gets binned. Plastic on the whole is pretty amazing. I can't figure out. We should have got some scientists on the show or done a bit of research before I came on air. Why all plastic can't be recycled? Because surely, you know, it kind of melts, doesn't it?
The majority of plastic can be recycled. It's having the facilities to recycle it.
Yeah,
that's the point about a lot of the things that vegetables came in those plastic trays. They've actually got a recycle symbol on the bottom. And it tells you what kind of plastic it is, so you know where to recycle it, isn't recycled by our local authority.
Yeah. Stuff's been getting shipped off to China for years, hasn't it? I think they've recently said we're not going to be importing any more waste from elsewhere. We've had enough. You can take care of it yourselves. So maybe that's good. You know, we're good at kind of figuring out problems, human beings generally. So as the plastic starts piling up, here, we'll figure out some way of getting rid of it, which hopefully doesn't involve lashing it all in the ocean.
It would be interesting if this week everybody that listened to this tried not to use plastic for a week and see how they get on.
Yeah. I'll try and find some links to people that have done this. You know, I'm sure I saw on the BBC a family tried to do it for a month, live without plastic. So they were shopping in local farm shops, so they were just kind of grabbing the veg that they needed, and it wasn't all getting sent to them in nicely packaged bits and bobs.
But this is the hard.
It's hard, isn't it?
It's like you and I are both wearing glasses that are made out of.
Well, the lens.
And the frames and lenses.
I'll have you know, I got titanium frames on these. Actually, would you believe it? Yeah. So have that.
So you want a head on that?
Yeah, but I think
you got plastic headphones in.
The lens is plastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
You nearly got me there, but the lens is plastic. That at some point that'll be floating around in the ocean, I'd imagine, because I'm getting older, my eyes are getting worse.
Can you give them to someone else with eyes like yours? When I was right in the podcast, or you know, before I did it, I've been to the shop and I'd tried to get a bottle of wine that didn't have a plastic cork in it. So you have to get one with a metal screw top cork.
Screw top, yeah.
Yeah. And then I went to pay for it and I suddenly realized that the credit card was plastic. So I thought, I'll pay for it cash. So I put my hand in my pocket and the £5 notes and the £10 notes are plastic as well.
Yeah, they're plastic now, aren't they? Not single use, though. Plastic. Not many people are chucking £20 notes, just
the bin.
Watching them flutter out the car window as they're driving down the motorway, not worrying about it. But we're heading towards a cashless society, aren't we? You can pay with your phone.
One of the things about the Middle East, look, they still use paper money.
Wow. Real paper money.
These are dirhams. This is real money. And this plastic rubbish.
Recyclable money. I like it. But moving it on then, how do people deal with kind of the stress and the guilt, the kind of the mental health issues involved with all the, you know, in the wider scheme of environmental issues and things that we're facing at the moment? Do you see any people that get stressed out about all this stuff and it's a part of their...
I think if people develop different versions of anxiety, if you have a reactive anxiety or a generalized anxiety disorder, then you can hook it onto all kinds of things. I mean, I was working with people that were in sort of almost free-flow panic about North Korea and Trump.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen.
Yeah.
People were terrified that...
Nuclear warfare was about to break out at any minute.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the issue, isn't it? If you look into the future and you can see things, there's a difference between making a rational judgment and thinking, yeah, okay, that potentially could happen. That's one thing. If you actually look into the future and you think, oh my God, and you keep living it in the present like it has happened,
yeah,
that's something completely different. Because I don't know whether there would be another war. I don't know whether it would be a nuclear war. But I know there's no point in me being anxious and worrying about it now. I think there's that bit. And the other bit is we need to do something about things. It's a bit like the people that bellyache about other people eating meat need to take responsibilities for that and create an alternative to meat that people are prepared to eat.
Yep.
Rather than becoming reactive and getting violent about people that eat meat. You know,
yeah.
So one way is negative, one way is positive. So the same thing is true for me about plastics. It's like, okay, I personally need to be much more aware of the plastics that I use.
Yep.
And try and minimise those. So I've deliberately gone and bought a set of stainless steel drinking straws that come with a little brush to clean out the insides. Mm-hmm. On the basis that I don't have to buy any more plastic straws. We can just use the stainless steel ones. So whenever kids come around, they can have their drinks with a straw, but it's a recyclable, reusable
straw.
Oh,
so you keep them at home. You don't carry these around with you in your pocket all day. So do you even need a straw? And you're not just, like, bringing the cup to your mouth, this novel way of drinking.
Well, it's a plastic cup.
Oh, right.
One of the things that was interesting about travelling in places like India was you always carried straws because you never put your mouth in contact with things in case you got some strange version of Delhi belly or something, you know.
Right, okay, that's fair enough.
So you would use straws in that case, yeah.
But there are, you know, there are signs of real progress, aren't there, in the UK laws on plastic bags in shops.
Yeah.
In the last few years has been amazingly successful. I think it's cut.
Yeah.
The number of bags used by 80-90%.
Yeah.
And there was a bit of, you know, at first I'm sure there's a bit of a pushback from people that are just so used to getting 8, 9, 10 plastic bags for each one of their supermarket trips. But
that was so like people when the smoking ban came out.
Yeah, there's always pushback, isn't there, from these big changes in society. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that has worked. I mean, people don't smoke in public places anymore.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's it. I mean, I remember going into a bar on a night out, not too long after the smoking ban came in, and it's weird because you could smell the bar, the whole place smelled different because it wasn't smoke everywhere, which you kind of get used to, and it's kind of this, I don't know, it was not an unpleasant smell for a bar. It was quite cool. Just added to the vibe a little bit, and then all of a sudden you're just smelling like the alcohol that's been spilt in the carpet. Like, oh God, that's horrible. But you get used to it, don't you? And then now, you know, if you get a whiff of smoke anywhere, even outside, you're like, oh my God, what is that? Jeez. Disgusting.
Yeah.
So yeah, people need time to change, don't they? That's one of the things on my list here, that, you know, it's easy to get down about this stuff that seems so urgent. And there is quite a lot of urgency about these issues. But
I think that the other thing is like levels of awareness. It's a bit like with the whole food issue. People have learned to use things like traffic light systems about how much salt is in this, how much fat is in this, how much sugar is in this, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which has made people look at their food differently. But maybe we need to do the same thing with the plastics, you know, become much more aware. It's like some tins, I've got a can here of Arabic Sprite.
Okay.
It's written in Arabic.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And the issue with this is I don't know whether they lined the inside of the can with plastic, or is it just straight aluminium?
I think it's just aluminium, yeah, and it's sprayed with something. But there's actually a really cool video online somewhere where there's a chap that goes through the evolution of the tin can or the Coca-Cola can. It's amazing, like, the process, actually, and why it's that shape. You know, it's because it's like an efficient way to pack things, that circular shape when they're laid on top of each other. It's like you lose hardly any space, and it adds its own kind of internal strength. Amazing, actually. But yeah, I'll link to that in the show notes if I can remember.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, if you think about things like kids' toys. Whereas toys always used to be made out of wood, they're now made out of plastic, but they were made out of pressed tin. But I don't know, I'm not savvy enough to know whether cutting the trees down to make the wooden toys is as environmentally damaging as anything else.
Mm.
I guess if you're planting the trees behind, it's not. And you know what I mean? That kind of thing. And it is, there are things that I need to be more aware of.
Definitely. It's a steep level. It's a learning process, this stuff, isn't it? But there's time. And I think, like for me, my environmental crusade and the work that I'm trying to do, I found it quite good to kind of get stuck in and get involved and find out more rather than just shouting from the sidelines constantly. And, you know, commenting on newspaper articles or tweeting people, you know, nothing's going to happen that way, is it? You know, we've seen in the Blue Planet that people like David Attenborough, who have an amazing voice, can be like show real leadership on stuff like this, can't they? So why can't you know, people listening to this now, why can't you be the next David Attenborough for whatever thing you're interested in? He's spent his life, you know, conservation and the health of the planet, hasn't he?
And he won't be around forever. And it's like, who's going to take up the mantle?
Yeah, who's the next Attenborough? Because we'll need one, won't we?
Yeah.
But he's 91. I saw an interview with him the other day. Jeez, he's looking really sprightly. Amazing.
He was doing a programme with the Queen, wasn't he, about trees and things?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, maybe his part of his secret to his success is his energy and his just constant desire to keep working and keep learning. There's probably some lessons to be learned there as well, eh?
I want to give a
quick shout out to a chap called Richard Sower, who just happens to be the father of a guy that I share an office with, Mike scribbled on a bit of paper as I was chatting away then. And I'm glad he reminded me. So Mike's dad, Richard, lives on a floating island in Mexico. When the island is built from plastic bottles that he's cycled around and found, and he's bound.
Is that his father?
That's Mike's dad. So he's all over YouTube. There's loads of people that have been to visit.
I've seen loads of stuff about him.
Oh, right, cool. Yeah, that's the next time you're in, have a chat. He's been in the office, actually, when he came back last year. Interesting guy.
When are we going to see him? We need to go and see him and do a podcast.
Maybe we could do a podcast. He should have a podcast.
There was somebody went to see him who did like a documentary on him, wasn't
there? There's been quite a few documentaries people have gone over. Carl Pilkington on Sky did one. He's had quite a few people visit. And yeah, if you type his name into YouTube, you'll find loads of stuff. But yeah, he's created this floating island, fully sustainable, using plastic bottles. I don't know how often he has to kind of replace bottles and make new nettings full of them because they degrade or what. Whether all that's plastic is slowly seeping into the ocean. I don't know how.
The roots of the mangroves.
Oh, hang on. Right, here we go. Just hang a sec. So, it's kind of, it's the whole island is growing things on, so it's kind of got this base of vegetation, and the roots of the mangrove are growing through the plastic bottles and creating this extra structure to help it flow. So the roots take over from the plastic in the end. Amazing. Wow. So it's pretty cool, man. He's got solar panels. He lives on this island. It's got a little two-story house and all sorts on it, hasn't it? Interesting. So that's my resource, actually, of the week.
I didn't know that. So when are we going out to see him?
I'm sure Mike can line us up. We'd get his priority space on the island. We'd go over there and do a podcast with him. He'd love that. I think that's my resource, Sean. So what about yourself?
My resource is go and buy some stainless steel straws. You can buy a set on Amazon for a fiver.
Yeah, do it. Just to start small. Because I get this kind of strange satisfaction from filling the recycling bin every 2 weeks when it comes to get collected.
Yeah, but if the things you're filling it with, they can't be recycled. That's exactly the thing.
Even if they can be recycled, the goal should be to kind of reduce waste completely right? So put as little as possible in your bin and just try and,
I guess there was a part of me that could kind of justify using the plastics on the basis that they were being recycled.
Yeah.
And now I know that they're not. It's given me a kind of kick in the pants to kind of look at what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was doing okay. It's a bit like I bought the car that I drive because it's a diesel and it does 69 to the gallon. And at the time when I bought it, everybody was going on about it was much better for the planet because it was doing more miles to the gallon and.
Yeah.
And then within a couple of years of buying it, I've now got doctors against diesel and everybody wants me to go and dump it somewhere. You know, and it's a really difficult thing, is that you're trying to get it right for you and the planet.
Yeah, I think, we shouldn't feel too guilty about these things because we're learning all the time, aren't we? And something, you know, so yeah. As long as once you got that new information, you kind of reset your ways.
Yeah.
You know, you can't sell a car instantly or you need to keep it running for a while, but you don't want to be changing your car every year based on the latest advice because that's a crazy thing to do.
Yeah. Doing the best you can, that's the thing.
Yeah, and get some good leadership as well. Follow people like Attenborough, hang on his every word, get yourself involved with Greenpeace, Friends of the Earth, start get stuck in, man. Speak to your local council about where the recycling actually goes.
Yeah.
See if they can...
Yeah, because I'm completely oblivious of that.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. I've been sending a lot of emails like that recently. I'm going to add that to my list. Right, cool. And if anyone is feeling super anxious about all this stuff, I guess don't be shy about speaking to...
Talk to someone. Yeah. And if you do get a generalised anxiety about things, it is a case of being able to be mindful and be in the present.
Yeah.
We can only be where we are. We can only do what we can do where we are.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry yet about that dystopian future, 21 or 100 years from now, when the air is unbreathable and we're all walking around with gas masks on or oxygen packs on our back. I'm sure
that's not going to happen, is it?
Get your head down, do the work, and we'll be all right, won't we?
Yeah. There's times when you walk around Liverpool where there's so many people smoking dope, and you probably need to have a backpack on to not be stoned.
You're giving people a terrible impression of our city. I haven't smelled that in a while in Liverpool. Wonderful place to visit.
You come around Liverpool with me, and we're going to have a
sniff. Okay, just a sniff. Right, okay, we're all done. Livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. Plenty this week, and we'll be back next week with more, won't we, Sean?
Yeah, we will. You take care.
Yeah, have fun. See you later.
Yeah, be happy. Bye.
Bye.